control of all things. And so this situation comes to us as a once-in-a-hundred-year thing. Exciting, but troubling. Dangerous for many, and dangerous for many in our community whom we don't know. We don't know what the future holds, Father, but you do. And therefore, this morning, Father, help us to be wise in the way we think about these things so that we'll honour you and that we'll preserve the faith that you've entrusted to us that's more precious than gold. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Look, I'll be brief. Five times in the Gospels in total, Jesus makes this statement. To him who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. You get it twice in Matthew's Gospel, you get it twice in Luke's Gospel, you get it once in Mark's Gospel. It appears first at the conclusion of the parable of a sower. It appears again, there is a warning about the way people hear, the way you respond to what you hear. You get at the end of the parable of the talents as a warning about the way we act in light of the things that we've been given. And that's my point today. Because what Jesus is saying there is that all of us have been given by God some understanding of Christian life. And the one who has more will use it well. Like in the talents, they'll use it well. Like in the one who hears the parable of the sower, the expectation is that they'll hear it well. And they'll be given more and they'll prosper. But those who have little will tend to listen badly. They'll hear the warnings and they won't heed them. And in the end, what they think they have will be taken away and they'll be left with nothing. Now, there's a sober word, isn't it, to begin this morning. In one sense, it's an exciting morning, but in one sense, it is a very, very serious morning. The coronavirus, like every other event in life, good or bad, a feast or famine, will test the genuineness of your faith. It'll do one of two things. It'll help you grow, or it will expose your weaknesses in Christian life. And I'm praying that for all of us, it'll be the first, not the second. But the next few months, I expect, will be very telling for many, many Christians. So today is about two warnings, two encouragements. Come to Hebrews chapter 10 if you're not already there. Let me give you the context. This letter was written to new Christians, like some of us are new Christians. They were doubting, however, times were tough for them. They'd come from a Jewish background. They were tempted to go back to that Jewish background. And the writer is urging them to hang in. He reminds them, verses 19 and following, what a great confidence they can have because of the blood of Jesus. They've entered into a new and living way that's been opened by the death of Jesus through the curtain, which is really just an image for the Old Testament temple. It was saying, because of Jesus, you've been able to draw near to God, nearer than you ever might have come before. And you can have tremendous assurance because of the death of Jesus that you're right with God. So you note there, draw near to him with a sincere heart, with full assurance that faith brings. That you've got your heart sprinkled to cleanse you from a guilty conscience, that the sins you've committed are taken away by God. Know it. Rejoice in it. There's something wonderful and extraordinary about that. But as always happens when God gives warnings, and there's a warning in that passage there, we'll come to it in just a moment, the one who has more will heed the warning, and they'll have an abundance. And the person who thinks they have will reject the warning very, very frequently. And even what they think they have will be taken away. Now, my first warning today, therefore, is about danger. It's about danger. Public meetings at Grace Church will finish as of around about a little over half an hour's time for who knows how long. And sadly, we need to do that. We need to do it for the good of the community. We can't simply hang together and do our thing and put the health of others at risk. We need to play our part to protect them, but it'll be dangerous for our faith. Don't doubt that it will be the case. Don't think that all you need each week is an online sermon or a TV sermon. The reason we're meeting today personally, where we might not have done so personally, is because we need more than that. You need more than an online interaction with something. We need a personal encouragement. Sometimes that will be a rebuke, sometimes it'll be a challenge, sometimes it'll be the understanding or mercy of someone who's wise in Christ. Hence the statement, verse 24 and 25, and there's the bit we'll focus on this morning. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. Just a thing to note about Christian life. It's easy to think simplistically about these things. Nobody matures in the Christian life simply by listening to a sermon online. There's a whole world of maturity you will miss out on in that. You need other Christians. You need them to help you work out in practice whatever it is you hear online. And the first danger in the corona context is the danger of not having around you other Christians, which is easy to take for granted Sunday by Sunday. Point of connection, someone says something to you that's actually just the right thing from the Spirit of God at just the right time you needed it. Well, in the context that's coming, that may not occur unless we actually cause it to occur. You'll need other Christians who will spur you on and to check in on how you're doing. Practically speaking, some of our growth groups will keep meeting, though they may tweak what they're doing in some particular fashion. They'll tweak that so that it's safe. Others are going to break up into network pods or huddles or small groups of 3 to 5 people. And they're going to aim to check in on you twice weekly. This would be a big job, you realise. And aim to check in on you twice weekly. They'll do that once at growth group time, to chat over a couple of questions to help you think about what we're doing for the week, to talk and reflect and pray over. And they'll check in on you on a Sunday morning at church time. And I'm going to come back to why that is in a moment. Those groups might meet down at the park. They might meet at a cafe. They may meet at someone's house or online or on WhatsApp or on Zoom or on Skype. And you can work that one out. We found a bunch of people have been using Zoom. It's worked really well. Don't know what Zoom is? Come and see someone after this. Come and see me after this. We'll put this stuff out for you during the course of the week. But can I say, right there's the danger. Right there's the danger. Because some of you will say to yourself, I don't need that. I'll be fine. I'll just wait it out. I'll be good. Now check your heart. If that's you at the moment, you're saying those things. Check your heart if that's what you're saying at the moment. Pastoring a church is like raising kids all over again. It has its pleasures and it has its challenges. Some of you are in the midst of that right now. Because in the Christian life, we're all still kids in some fashion. We're babies in the spiritual realm of things. And we don't always do what's good for us. And our insight is not always right about what will be good for us. And so if you're not in a growth group, and that will be a bunch of you, I'm ringing you over the next couple of days. And I'm doing that because your spiritual health will be at risk in this period. And I'm going to be doing that to get you into some sort of network group that you'll be comfortable in. And I'm doing it because your faith matters. More precious than gold. It matters. We don't want to lose you. You don't want to lose you if you're thinking at your best. So here's a tip. When I call you, some of us have talked about these things before, don't resist me. Because you know some of you have done that before. This is no ordinary situation. You may have some reason from the past you don't want to be in a group. Notice the text there. This is 24 and 25. Don't neglect meeting together. You need other believers. You need them in one context or another. We can't do it in this context. We're going to do all we can to create a context where we can look after you. So don't resist me. We want to look after you. If you're new here to church and we don't have your contact details, can you go to the welcome desk down there behind where Ricky's sitting? Rick, can you put your hand up there? See Ricky waving down the back there? Can you go down there and fill in your contact details at the end of this? Because again, we do want to look after you. We do want to make sure we do all we can to help you during this. It will be a trying time and we don't know how long it is going to last. Don't neglect meeting together in some way. People's faith will drift away. I came across a story just yesterday about a couple who went fishing off the coast of Florida in one of those great big boats that some rich people have got. It was hot, so the wife went for a swim. She just jumped in the water and found very quickly that the current she jumped into was way, way stronger than she thought. She was taken far from the boat and she shouted and waved to her husband, who thought she was saying, "The water's fantastic, come on in." So he did. He jumped in as well. And soon he was in trouble. He was a strong swimmer. She was not. So they made a plan. He would swim against the tide and try as much as possible to stay as close as possible to the boat. And then when the tide turned, he'd swim for the boat. She would drift with the current. She would drift with it. And when he could, he would come to her in the boat and rescue her. 6 hours passed and then the tide turned. And the boat was now far, far away on the horizon. And the husband swam for it. And the wife was nowhere to be seen. And the search party found her the next day, 20 miles out to sea. And she wasn't quite gone. She was barely alive. And we don't want that for you. If this is 6 months, let me tell you, you will drift. You will drift without support. Number one, there's a danger in this period. Some people will drift and they'll never come back. It will happen. So be wise and take precautions. But number two, in this period we're in, there'll be a need for discipline. There'll be a need for discipline. Starting next Sunday, we'll put the church service online. We're going to do the best we can to make sure there's colour, because you don't just want a talking head Sunday by Sunday. You want the engagement of other Christians. You want that during the course of the week. You want that on Sunday. Don't worry how to access that. Who's worried about how to access it? Who's technologically, yes. Actually, I shouldn't have said that last bit. But some of you will be worried how to access it. Don't worry. We'll send you that out, instructions, during the course of the week. That's why we need your contact details. But here is the need for discipline. First one, danger. Second one, discipline. We won't set that up so you can access it any time you want. Why not do that? Well, we're not going to do that because we need the discipline that comes with routine. It will matter. And what may well happen during this period of time is some people get out of the routine of church. We've already seen it this year. People go away on one of those long, long holidays. They quickly get out of the routine of church. And they drift. And it's over. And they never come back. It's happened with one couple already this year. We need routine. So that service content will be available only at normal service times. It'll be 9:30 on Sunday morning. It'll be 6 p.m. on Sunday night. Tune into it in your own home. Invite a couple of people over if you're comfortable to do that. And discuss it with that network of a couple of friends that you've got. Ask one another the questions that are troubling you. And pray for each other. Got the point? The second need for discipline is the first one. We do want to treat you in such a way that we keep encouraging a routine, because routine will matter. Here's the second one, though. It will align the routines of Christian life. Bible reading, prayer, giving. The vast majority of you now do your giving by direct debit. And can I say, that's made a huge difference to us this year. That has been a massively significant thing. About 15% of our giving still comes through the bag. And from now on, guess what? There'll be no bag. So we're in a whole different realm of thinking. So you might be thinking, well, I can save a bit of money for coffee. I want to encourage you, at the very time we need to hit budget, we'll be in danger of falling short. So if you don't give by direct debit, if you don't give by direct debit, will you please come and see me at the end of this today so we can work out how we can help you? There is something to fill in if you can't catch me again down at that table where Ricky is. Not that we're so desperate for the money. God is good. He'll look after us no matter what the circumstances actually are. But it's good for you and for your heart to ensure that you're caring about the work of the kingdom. And it is the truth that your family need your discipline at this point. So, again, don't resist. Don't resist. It'll be no good for you. It won't cause you to grow and have that abundance that Jesus wants for you. Two warnings. Let me give you two encouragements. This might be a time of great obstacles, but it's also a time of great opportunities. And that's my point three. Great opportunities for us actually during this period of time. We don't want simply to survive during this particular period. We want to grow. We want to reach others. And there'll be Christians on the peninsula who will need your support because they're not getting it. Do you hear me here? Invite them into your network pods. We want to have enough leeway that we can actually do that. We want those pods not just to survive, but to grow. And there'll be lots of opportunities for that. So be alert to the needs of others in your community, whether they're Christians or not Christians. Some Christians won't, some believers, unbelievers won't come to church on a Sunday morning. I mean, look at you, you are so harmless looking, you know. And yet they won't come because it's a frightening context for them, but they would come to your home. They would do that. They would tune in with something to you. They might be intrigued enough to do that. And during a time of fear, people will do that. Be alert to the opportunity. Secondly, in our neighbourhood community, there'll be people who are in tremendous fear about the future. They may well think this is the end of everything. It's Armageddon or some strange concept that they've learned from the movies, though, of course, the words in the Bible, the ideas people have are often kind of Hollywood ideas about it. We want to get out and help people in our community who will be in very great need. There's an opportunity. There's an opportunity for us as a church, and as we get our feet in this period, we want to do exactly that. We want to start and visit the people around here who are in need. But there'll be people whom you can go and visit just as individuals in your street. And I want to urge you, particularly those who are elderly, do it. Do it. They will need our care. Christians have always done this. During the plagues in the first 3 centuries that the church was born, in the New Testament era, Christians were known for this. We want to be known for this. We want Jesus to be the one who's glorified. God's in control in all things. The coronavirus hasn't appeared without his permission and will. And he expects us just the same as he always has to take chances to grow the kingdom. There's an opportunity. That's what we want to do. Take chances to grow it. Each week in that online service, it will be a good opportunity to hear from you. What are some of the opportunities you've taken? It's not that we want you to have the praise. We just want to make sure that we get the word out. There'll be opportunities in the midst of the obstacles. And we want to make sure that we're thinking creatively and thinking prayerfully about how we can do that. In this time that we're heading into, let me tell you, some Christians will almost certainly fall away. Some of you may well fall away. You don't think it now. It's a million miles away from your thoughts. You're not planning it. But it will happen. It will almost certainly happen. But God might also do something very great, you know. In 1949, when the Communist Army won the Civil War in China, all Christian missionaries were ejected from the country by the new government. And at that time in China, there were about 700,000 Christians in 1949. Impressive, but still much less than 1% in that time. And without the support of the missionaries, hopes for the church in China in those days were very, very bleak. No one thought it would actually survive. It was such a very young church. But in the midst of hardship and oppression, those who had more stepped up, and just as Jesus said, they were given more. So they had an abundance. You know what the church did? Went underground, just like we're having to do. Just like we're having to do in these next months. Went underground, God grew it to over 100 million people. I'm not sure how, 140 times what it was when all the missionaries left. He can do it in this context in Australia. And God knows our country needs that. He may actually bring revival. There's an opportunity in all of this. Here's the last. There'll be a need for initiative. There'll be a need for initiative. Those network groups or pods won't work unless leaders take the initiative. And Felicity has contacted some of you during the course of the week to ask you, can you take responsibility for 3 or 5? We've thought before, what if revival comes and we actually need to step up in the roles that we're actually doing? Well, you won't have church, you won't have a growth group in quite the same sort of way. You'll have lots more time, and so some of those leaders will need to step up. And unless they take the initiative with one another to help us connect during the course of the week and to help you reflect on a Sunday, we will actually be in very great need. Those leaders have your good in mind. They'll be aiming to contact you, to help you grow and survive. And when they do contact you, and you've got a message on your phone from Elaine Cameron, don't keep her hanging. She's doing it for your good. It's not that it's going to make her more healthy, though spiritually, actually. The ministry with you will do that. But don't presume upon her patience with you. Get back and help those guys out. People like that are keeping watch over your souls as those who will need to give an account, says the writer of Hebrews in chapter 13. Let them do that joyfully, not sadly. Your leaders will take the initiative, but you need to do the same. When you hear someone struggling, don't wait. Reach out. Brian Badley, hoped to be here today. Brian Badley's been in the hospital the last week. He had a fall the week before. He's found unconscious. He's well, fractured eye socket. Now, others among us are sick as well. Just remind me, because I was thinking of someone I came down here this morning. Others among us who are in need this week. Going to get back to you about those midweek. But there will be people in need, and you'll know it, and the rest of us won't know it. I'm going to get Helena up here for just a moment. Where's Helena? Yeah, there she is. Now, Helena's shy about doing this, so I want to tell you as she comes down the front here, Helena runs our Helping Hands network, and though there's some who help to volunteer with that, that's fine, Helena. I just want them to see you, so you get that just down there. Helena does that largely on her own, but it's a wonderful ministry that we're going to be in very great need of in this next period of time. So if you're aware of things, take the initiative, and one initiative in particular is to let Helena know so that we can get help to people. Jack and Anna Moya, I think, have been struggling with Sally, a new baby, and so Helena's aware of that. Brian, of course, is in need. But there'll be some who've fallen off the radar in church life, as has happened over the last year, and now's a time, I think, to connect with them and just to see how they're doing. Be kind. Not all these will be a job for the Helping Hands Network that Helena runs. Some of it just be a job for you to take the initiative. Thanks, Helena. I just want them to see you. So, watch it. So, what did you thank her for that ministry and support her in it? This is not a time to delay. There may be no one else. It's time for you to take the initiative. It could be a dangerous time, but you know what? It could be a life-changing time. It could be a time when you come of age. It could be a time when you find a role that you've never had before. It could be the time when God grows you and his kingdom on the peninsula. Corona or not, that's our plan this year. We want to see the kingdom grow. We want to be part of it as much as we can. So let me tell you, as I finish here, the things that we would have done at Grace Vision 2020, I want to tell you the key things we're doing this year, because there's opportunities and there's a need for us to take initiative. So let me give you a taste of that one now. Number one, we're opening the doors to ministry in the schools. We haven't done that as yet. We haven't been able to do that as yet. But we're doing it this year because next year, Scotty Ward, who's running our youth, can go into the schools, can have a ministry there, can begin to create a place where kids in the schools can come. So I want to urge you in your mission giving support youth life, and some of you have begun to do that. That's the area scripture board. And support Scotty. Now, he's doing what he can to get that youth group that Dean's worked on so hard for so many years, to get it to critical mass. And so there are untapped opportunities. This is the year to tap them, because next year we hope the gates will be open for all that ministry in schools. That's number one. Here's number two. It's Grace Nights. That congregation is beginning to grow. It's around about average 45, just under 50. Our goal, it's a modest goal to be honest, is that this year we want to grow it at least at 260. We want to get that thing beyond critical mass, under God. We want to be able to draw in the youth of the peninsula who need to hear the gospel. There is nowhere for them to go. There's nowhere running any ministry for them to go to. And can I say, that will take discipline. It'll take discipline for us as we think about how to grow that night service. But can I say, I can't grow that on my own. I am too old. We need Curtis, we need Scotty, we need guys who are much younger. So this year, make sure we can afford them for next year. Get me on that? There are opportunities to expand this to people who need it. We need to keep growing that. I want to urge you to do it. There's number two, here's number three. A few years ago we had a kids ministry which was dependent upon volunteers that were coming from Erina. And we had to say no more. We've got to stand on our own two feet. And this year what we've begun to do is people who are coming from that growing night service are beginning to take over the ministry in the morning, so our kids don't have a roster anymore. They've got the same teachers week by week who know them and can care for them so that we can actually improve the quality of what we do. And some of you will feel, I really enjoyed doing that job once every 6 weeks. And now I'm not doing it, and I feel a little bit lost. And I say there's a gain for the ministry in that, having night come in. And this year we want night to come in and take over at least half of that ministry. And they've done that already. But if you're feeling left out in it, there are places for you. We want to free up the load that so many are bearing this morning, congregation. And this is the year we can do it. Because of the growth of what's happening at night, we want to make sure our kids' ministry in the morning stands on its own two feet with teachers committed week in and week out. But there's a role for you if you're feeling lost. Come and see Felicity about that, or me, or Paul, or Trudy. We want to be able to help you. Here's the last one. A few years ago, as a church, financially, in terms of assets, we had nothing. We had nothing. And we can't survive here forever. Though we pray, and there has been quite good news on the school front about what's happening here. But now we've got a property, it's worth close to $1 million. You might think, how did that happen? How did it happen? I'll tell you how it happened. Week by week, some of you very quietly have been giving a percentage of your giving to property. And some of you have given very large amounts. Some of you have just faithfully given what you can give. And week in and week out, there are people who go into that property and they do the landscaping, they plant the flowers, and they organise the concrete, and they jackhammer up all the old stuff and get rid of it. And we've got two properties producing about $44,000 a year toward the payment down of those loans. And we want to go further this year. That house is a stepping stone to the future. It's just a stepping stone, though. We've got our sights set on a location down here. We've taken it to council. If they agree to that site, we want to move this year. You know what I'm saying? Third term this year, if our economy stands up, who knows what'll happen? God's in control. We'll need money as gifts to buy that property. And we'll need money as loans to buy that property. Let me tell you, we're going to pay you a much better interest rate than the banks.
That wouldn't be hard.
That wouldn't be hard, would it? They've just taken theirs down. But we can actually afford to pay you much better than that, because we'll be saving on the interest that we might have had to have paid. So we can do very much better than that. The bank will give you a trivial amount of interest. We will give you much more, because virus or not, we want to grow the kingdom. We're committed to doing it here. That's our plan for the year. So remember those words of Jesus. To him who has, more will be given, and he'll have an abundance. But from him who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. It's not simply speaking about money. Speaking about how you listen. Speaking about how what you do with what you've got. Speaking about the action that you take. The one who has, uses it well, more will be given. There's a challenge and there's an opportunity. And I want to urge you, work with us. Stick with us. Don't drift in the spirit to come. Hear me? Now, it's 8:30. I said to our kids, people, we'd finish around about 8:30, but we're going to take some questions, then we're going to pray. And I'm suggesting we pray as a large group. And so the microphone will be passed around in a bit, and if Adam can be aware of that. Do you want to ask questions about any of those things, whether it be about the things we've said about the Bible, the things we've said about vision? Stick your hand up and I'll get a microphone to you. We're going to sing briefly at the end, by the way. So, no questions? No questions, no microphone. Okay, now, if we're not able to pray as open prayer, that microphone is still not functional there, Adam? Okay, then I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to pray for the period to come, and then we're going to sing together and finish off. I think there's some morning tea. And we've got taken the same procedures with healthcare on that as we did last week. So let me pray, and we'll call it a day. Heavenly Father, I want to plead with you for this community that you protect them. And Father, we want to pray that you grow them. Though we don't simply want to survive in this period, we want to see you reach many who don't know you. So we implore you that you'd move in the hearts of people. That they'll be compliant as we seek to help, not resistant. And we pray for those who have the wherewithal to reach out to those who need it and to help them to grow. We want to pray for us as a community that we'll be aware of those around us who are needy and that you'll move us to help. And we plead with you that in all of this you might get the glory. Not us as a church, but you, we ask. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, if you're new to church, we want to look after you. Please put your details down there at the end. If you give through the bag, there's a sheet down there. Could you fill that in so we can help you work out some alternative? But Matt and Janice and Laurie are going to lead us. We're going to sing, and then we're going to call it a day.